Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome to Success Freaks number 226, now titled, We Are Who We Are.
Where this show starts on one topic and then organically changes direction.
We chat about my visit with IRUSA and how people are people.
Then our conversation uses a different group of people to show similarities.
In the Level Up, we discuss acceptance versus tolerance.
Then on Beyond, we stay organic and argue about owning behavior versus the consideration of all.
All this coming up right now. Welcome, welcome everyone to the number one Nothing But Net Comedic Motivational Show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is episode 226, How to Build a Dream Team Out of Nightmare People. And today we are coming at you semi-live from Gastonia, North Carolina, in the Bears Den in Conyers, Georgia. In that Bears Den is somebody that I hold in very high esteem.
Although what did you do?
Charles McFall.
That's... Yeah, when the kids come up, I love you. You're like, okay, what'd you do? Yeah. So just so everybody knows who's live in the chat room, I want to need you to get a question today about teams, because Yahoo Answers had nothing. And I usually do come up with a question to talk about, like on my own, and I kind of have one. But, you know, as we talk through the show, if you come up with a question, let us know. And if you're listening on the podcast and we don't cover your question, or if there's an area of team building you'd like to hear more about, hit us up at contact@successfreaks.com. And we'll read it on the next show and talk about it for sure. We'll follow up. I'm noticing that people loved the Listener Potpourri show.
Yeah. Well, what's not to love? It's their questions, of course.
So, actually, Morten and I talked about that when we did it, of doing it at least once a month. And with the response that we've gotten from that show, absolutely, we're going to be doing that once a month for sure. So I'm excited about it. And I loved it. I had a ton of fun doing that one, didn't you?
Let's do it. Let's do it next week.
Let's do it right now. No, I don't know.
Let's do it right now. We'll do it next week. Do a Listener Potpourri show. Hey, we don't have any questions right now, but...
Actually, we'll talk off the air. That's fine. No, we're not going to do it right now. I'm just kidding, of course. But today, we're talking about team building. And the title, we'll go ahead and be honest. The title's a little misleading, because it sounds like we're going to tell you how to take the worst people on your team and make them better. Well, and we might touch on some of that. We're not exactly sure that we're going to do with it. But we do know that right now... Both of us have had extensive years of team building experience, and I don't know what your team's like now, Morten, with the different things that you do, but I know I'm working with a team that's pretty good, and then somebody came in, and it's been a little rough, and, you know, I was talking about a little, how do you pull a team together when things are pulling apart, and when people aren't necessarily getting along. And when there's so many different personality types out there, and I know I've got stories of being on teams that were horrible and teams that were good. So I pitched it to you and you're like, sure, let's do that. So why don't you talk about your side of that while we get to the break?
Oh, well, my side of it. I mean, I've worked with a variety of people, and the Tortuga Twins have been a cohesive team for almost 30 years now. We're coming up on our 30th season, and it has not always been the dream team that it is now. A lot of the dream team aspects come from just maturing, getting older, and being able to pick your battles, learning how we work well with each other, learning how to respect each other's differences of opinions. But it's not always that way. Sometimes you get all your, you know, oh, they're not listening to me, and then coming to the realization that, you know, the problem may not be them.
Right.
It may be, you know, you or me, or however right. You're looking at it.
Well, I mean, that's the thing we always talk about. It always comes down to the part you're putting into it, right?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty much that. And it's all, again, a lot about perspective and things like that. So,
and now, you know, that's I should have known that's where I was going to go. I didn't think about it. But that's interesting. You immediately, rightfully so, go to the team that you're a huge part of, you know, the Tortuga Twins. And I'm actually, because I don't have that. We all come from our own perspective, right? I'm coming from a team that I'm trying to lead. And I was thinking, hey, he'll talk about the people we've had on his cart. And it's like, oh, no, of course he won't. He'll talk about the team that he's in, which actually is going to give you a whole different perspective of how to build a team and what they've gone through. But let's talk about last week real quick. You were where?
Alexandria, Virginia, just south of Washington, D.C. And, yes, I did make it up into Washington, D.C. at the IRUSA, Islamic Relief USA offices. And they are, for those of you who don't know, they are a charity that helps people all across America and the world And so basically when disasters happen, the Red Cross goes in and the Red Cross calls them and they put boots on the ground and making sure people get food and I think clothing or whatever needs to happen. They're also helping elsewhere in the world with things that are going on and wherever they need relief.
They have offices all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I was at their office in the United States.
I'm glad you felt the need to clarify that. No.
I was at their office in England, and it was great. I tell you, they all spoke with funny accents.
Wow.
And then... So... Yeah, they were cool. And I'll tell you, man, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about... we have our assumptions of people who are different than us, and we think that... That okay, I understand your religion, my religion, and yet when there's so much about, especially about Islam and what's going on in the world, you think you know. Well, I had questions, and I asked I called them my stupid questions. Why do people wear those things on your head, and why are you having these points of view? And the biggest thing that I learned is that a lot of those differences that we see are not necessarily attached to the religion, but more attached to the culture. So a lot of that stuff is, that you see with the way people are overseas is not necessarily for that religion, for Islam. And I am a universalist. I believe that religion is a way to connect to the divine. How you believe is how you believe, and if it gets you there and you're able to help people, not hurt others, and it helps yourself as well, then more power to it.
Right.
So I'm good with all. But it was very eye-opening. It was just for me to go, oh.
Well, you're taking the natural path that most people go down with, which is talking about the religion, which is absolutely not what they're about at all.
No, they're not a religious organization.
And you did lead with putting, no, I got you. I want to talk about what people are hearing, and that's fine. You did lead with how they're a charitable organization, but people always, it's interesting, we always go to the parts that we're told are different from us or that we're told are wrong. And not that your thing is wrong, I'm saying in a natural human way. And what's interesting to me about that whole setup and that whole conversation there is there's white people in there, there's black people, there's Islamic people, there's I don't know, are there any purple people in there? Or purple people eaters? You gotta be careful.
Yeah, too many purple people eaters.
Yeah.
I was struck by how similar everybody was. And this is just stuff that you don't think about until you see it. At one point, Christy, my girlfriend, was there, and she was showing the girls a video of what I do on stage, and they're all gathered around her and giggling. Somebody else at one point they talked about cat videos and just all the similarities. And as far as like the wearing the thing on your head, that is a choice that not everybody takes. So there were some of the women had that, some of the women didn't.
What is the thing called, sir?
What is it called?
Yes.
I think it's called a hodge. And I got real quiet because I'm not really
sure,
which is bad. Bad Morden, no biscuit. So yes, I don't know. And I should. It was great. We had to come early, we left Sunday night so we could get up there and we'd be there on Monday. And I can make it to the office before Tuesday. Christy and I missed Walking Dead, so we watched Walking Dead with Dammit Carl and his wife.
Okay.
And it was just, again, I'm struck by the similarities of some of the hashtags that I use now on Twitter are hashtag beyond religion, hashtag people are people. And it's true. If you take the time to get to know people, you're going to find something like that out. I was in a bookstore yesterday at Davidson, North Carolina. And I found this book called The Faith Club, and it's written after, like in 2006, but it's these three women getting together, a Christian and a Jew and a Muslim getting together to talk about the similarities they had and to hash out the differences they had. And it was just reading that first chapter, it begins with the Muslim woman right after 9/11 and her thoughts on things and her going in her head, please don't let this be connected to Islam, and then finding out later and how her children had to deal with things. And then it's just struck by the similarities even though there are differences in all of us.
And
so that was that.
Yeah, there are. And we'll talk about a little more about that coming up, because that does play into teamwork and understanding the similarities and differences coming up on the next segment. But first, go check us out at successfreaks.com. You get all the old podcasts. Well, all the previous. I guess they're not old. We say some really good stuff. But all the previous podcasts and the vlogs and blogs. So successfreaks.com is where you can find everything you need about us.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they'd like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 226, How to Build a Dream Team Out of Nightmare People, otherwise known as, are you waiting on me? Which we talked about. Today has just been a lot of hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. Kind of stuff.
We talked about it in the in-between stuff. So
did we mention that we actually did the show late today?
No. But you know, for the podcast people, they don't care. And in the in-between stuff for the live audience, we did, yes.
Right. Okay.
We got that covered. So that's not what we're here to talk about, though. We're here to talk about teamwork and learning. You ended with how you personally went there. And honestly, with what we do with you and I and the way we see the world and in the conversations we have, it is still surprising to hear you come out and say, man, I'm still surprised about how much people are alike and learning. And I was like, you know what? Cool. I mean, as long as you're still having horizons opened and pushed and learning things, that's great. It's a little surprising that you were still learning that, but that plays right into what we're talking about with the teamwork, how we forget. We tend to see the differences easier than we see how we're alike, and that does play into building a team.
Well, I'm also surprised that I am still learning that I do have some of those hesitant. Well, I'm not sure about you people, you know, until you find out. Oh, you people is just us people, only a little different.
Do you think? Because we do know that the only thing you can change in the world is yourself, and we know that most of everything that plays out, whatever we experience, is from our experiences in the past and from how we put into it. So do you think it's because you're still unsure of yourself and how you're perceived and how you perceive yourself?
I'm sure that's part of it. I'm sure I still have part of my damage is that I do care about what other people think of me. And that's something that I was talking to Christy today about. She has, in that regard, no fear. She embraced the people there. She embraced, you know, everybody, and she's been friends with everybody and all this kind of stuff, and I did as well, but to the level that she, you know, she's put stuff out on Facebook and all this other stuff, and for me there's still and again, I'm going to repeat, this is I don't consider this a plus.
Sure.
I'm just being very, very honest. There's still a hesitancy. What will this mean? How will this affect? What will this, you know, will my audience appreciate or depreciate this, or, you know, what is yada 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 yada. And that's part of my own damage of worrying about what other people think. And I even told her today, I'm nothing but proud of you and impressed, and I'm learning from you by your ability to go. She's like, oh. And I called it bravery. And she goes, I was just, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me. Oh, I'm like, oh, then you're not being brave. You're just that open.
Or
I was being a smart ass. And I said, I'm actually being brave because I'm scared. So, you know. And you can get beyond that. You can get beyond yourself. You can get beyond what other people think. This show is turning into something completely different.
It
maybe
is.
The nightmare people that we're talking about here is ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I love diversity. One of the things I love about Gastonia, North Carolina, there's a Planet Fitness here, which is a gym. And one of the things I love about it, I see all races in there, and they're all intermingling, talking to each other. There is no, hey, the black guys are hanging over here, and the white guys are over here, and the Asians are over here. I see them moving across, talking to each other, and it's one of the things I love about this place and this gym. And I've noticed it more than I've noticed it elsewhere. And I've gone to gyms all over the country. So it's something I look forward to. And it's something that I love about big cities. It's something I love about when you're traveling. It's also something that's very true from what I understand in the military. Because if you're in the field, it doesn't matter what your color is. That's your brother. That's your brother, and he's got your back, and you got his back or her back.
Sure.
All that being said, there's still my own little hiccups that I'm getting past and I'm learning past. And this experience has taught me something that has become very, very near and dear to me. And now, and it's affected, this is one of the things I said this morning, it's affected me on a level that I cannot unlearn. I'm learning stuff that I cannot unlearn.
Right.
About people being people. And that has to affect my behavior. It has to affect my stance.
But it doesn't necessarily affect you, your behavior. Because to me, okay, I'm being semantics, but I'm being clear about where I'm coming from. To me, behavior is external. It's what you do. Racist, which you are not. No, I'm not correcting your language. I'm actually taking a point somewhere. You know, you're absolutely accepting of people. And you're talking about, I think the fear-based response was a great way to put it, of I'm afraid of doing something wrong or offending somebody or being misunderstood. So I'm being very clear about that when I say this next thing. This next thing has nothing to do with morbid, but it has to do with behavior. Racists, people who hate other races, can have appropriate behavior. So when you say it must affect my behavior, that's still an external thing where I think in reality what you're doing is you're letting it affect who you understand yourself to be, and that then in turn affects your behavior.
Yeah, it's affecting my hesitancy, and you know that moment of should I do this? And it's definitely affecting my, you know, I don't have a problem. I'm a big fan of LGBT and gay rights and all of that. And I'm my voice will, I'll throw it out there. I have no hesitancy with that. And I'm kind of loud and obnoxious about that. This is something new that's going to become part of my language and who I am. That these are people, and I'm sure all over the world, but I'm the ones that I'm meeting are the Americans. And they are being lumped into a group that it's unfair that they are. Mm-hmm. They're people just like us who believe very closely, in their own. If you understand Islam and Christianity and Judaism, they're all children of the book, you know. So in their own beliefs, they're all the same God. And I'm sure we'll get letters on that, but that's where it all comes from. And I can only speak as to the people. I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm a universalist when it comes to the religion, but people have been getting a bad rap, and one of the things that was said a lot was there needs to be another voice out there. And what I liked about, I believe his name was Anwar, what he said, instead of pointing out the bad that you know, people like ISIS are doing, instead of pointing that out, shed some light on the good. You know, add another voice to it. Add a voice about, yes, but here are the good things that are happening. And again, right. we're getting to the religion, and IRUSA is not a religious organization. It is a charity that helps people in disasters or unfortunate people. And just like the, I think it's the Catholic Relief Fund and other relief funds out there, they lend themselves towards that.
Well, I find interesting about Islam, and I think this is the American culture in the way we've, and I won't throw out a little controversial term here, but I do feel that it's this way. The way we've been brainwashed to see other people, to say, oh, it's different. You're not us. You know, you don't believe the way I believe. You don't see, which is not necessarily true. Right. And when, like you're saying, with some of the religion and with the same God, and if you really boil certain things down from Islam, from Asian cultures, from Hispanic cultures, well, a lot of Hispanic cultures are Catholic-based, but if you boil a lot of it down and you start talking about what do you believe that you should love people or you should hate people, a lot of times it comes down to love. And so that's a big underlying thing. What I'm saying is it's very interesting that if it were the Catholic Relief Fund, we would not be talking about Catholicism. If it were the Baptist Relief Fund, if it were the white guy Relief Fund, we wouldn't be talking about religion.
We'd be talking about something else right there.
It's because we've been, and again, I'm going to say it, it's because I believe through ignorant education, because ignorance being you don't understand, and so we're only being educated to the point that somebody understands, which is not by people who practice religion, and through media, through U.S. news media and entertainment media, we've been taught that this is the way it is. When it comes up with, we went to the Islamic Relief Fund, and you're talking about, and you weren't worried about the religion necessarily, you were looking at the culture. How is it culturally different? When we met, Carl.
I want to clarify that's Islamic Relief USA, not Islamic Relief Fund.
Thank you. I apologize. You're correct, sir. I appreciate that. I want to come back in the next segment with talking about when we met Dammit Carl and the questions we asked. We're all about asking questions about differences. I just find it interesting with this one area, even for us, it tends to still go to religion versus what they're really about or who they are. And I think that's interesting. So, yeah, this is taking a different turn, but it's taking a good turn. We'll be back in a second. But first, check out Success Freaks on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Success Freaks. I lost my point there. You can get all the cool stuff there. Bye.
Do you feel like your small change isn't making a difference to help your neighbors in need? You can make changes that count. Islamic Relief USA's Day of Dignity is giving you the chance to fight poverty in your community. Visit IRUSA.org to learn more about Day of Dignity events happening soon in your city. Islamic Relief USA, working together for a better world.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 226. Whoop, 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 whoop. Name change, name change. We are who we are. Now, we were talking in the last segment about people and religions and their different viewpoints and things like that. I think one of the things that Muslims have to deal with is the fact that they're faced with a bad rap because of what other people are doing because of ISIS and things like that. And a lot of them, I bet, are just sitting there going, please stop doing this because you're killing us over here. There's other groups that are having to face with that right now. And oddly enough, the group I'm going to talk about is the police. Because there are some police being caught doing things they should not be doing, being violent, et cetera, et cetera, it's giving everybody a bad rap right now. Yeah. I have friends who are police. This sounds like such a – I'm not police racist. I have police friends. No, I have – they're great people.
I have my one cop friend.
They serve and protect. I mean, I know all the way down from state troopers to local police to prison guards, et cetera, and yet there are people who are police officers who are not doing things on the up and up or who are doing things in a much more violent way, and it's getting caught on video finally because it's not – I'm saying finally because I'm sure it's been happening all along because people are people. You know, they're going to do what they do, and sometimes you get lumped into that. So they have to deal with that, and that sucks for them.
Yeah.
You know, and so you can't look at police officers and hold them all to that, you know, lack of standard because they're not all like that. You got a few bad apples, and honestly, I don't want to throw it in with the news media doing all this stuff because I do believe in freedom of speech, and if you're going to do something screwed up, it's going to get out there.
Yes.
But that kind of news sells, so that's the dialogue that's going to be out there. So unfortunately, people are looking at that and starting to doubt the police. The same thing with, you know, people of different religions when extremist organizations do that thing and they get lumped in with that. And it's not fair to them either as people.
You know, one of the things I could say to correct all this, both with extremist religions and with the police specifically, was I actually, just so you know, the audience, so you know, I actually pursued a criminal justice degree at one point. I was going to be a police officer. And one of the things that turned me off from all of that was the utter and total secrecy that is inherent in the corporate structure of police departments. And by that, I mean, it's the leadership, it's the politics. It's there was a saying back in the 80s or maybe 90s, the blue wall of silence. It's that fact that we handle everything internally. We keep everything quiet. If it's always one rogue cop, right? Now it's becoming more obvious that it's not. But when it's one rogue cop, you know, we'll discipline him, we keep it quiet, but it'll make us look bad. And I've always said from as early as I can remember, transparency, man, being honest, letting people see how things work, quit hiding everything. And I'm talking about to anybody now. Quit hiding your books, quit locking things behind a door. Now, there's when you talk about corporations and businesses, there are such a thing as proprietary information. And something you invented, something you came up with, the way you do business can be kept secret because if that gets out, then everybody can do it. And now you have no market. That I'm not talking about. I'm talking about just the inherent, we don't want to tell anybody anything. We're going to hide everything. Because here's why you're transparent. Dude, I've had this happen so many times in my life, especially being on an ambulance. You know, I had a reputation, especially early on. I was young and I was dumb and I was very egotistical and controlling and angry. So I had this reputation of doing stupid things. However, I owned those stupid things and I was honest about everything. So when somebody would try to start a rumor about me, Charles, all this stuff's going on, nobody believed them because like that didn't sound like him. Yeah, he'll do this, this, and this, and he'll tell you he'll do this and this, and he'll tell you he's a controlling, you know, bleepity bleep. But that what you're saying is just stupid. Now, why are you saying that? Where did you really hear that? And it would never go anywhere because I was always honest and transparent about what I did and who I was. If you had that in the police department, let's go. The one that comes to mind is in South Carolina a couple of months ago. A white police officer chased down a black suspect. He had pulled him over legally, rightfully. The guy ran for ended up being he was behind on child support or something. And for whatever reason, he chose to run. There was no threat of violence. There was no need to pull a gun. The cop shot him in the back. And we watched this on TV. And I'm sitting around looking at our culture and society going, do you not realize you're watching this guy actually be murdered on TV? And nobody's batting an eye. That bothered me. Well, that's a whole different topic. But then he plants a gun. So what happens is...
Oh, and then he planted a gun?
Yeah, he planted a gun. I mean, you watch him go over and drop a gun down, and I don't know exactly what's come out, but...
Does he not know he's being videoed?
No, he didn't know he's being videoed. Okay, he went on the cop camera. He had run away from the cop, and somebody saw this stuff going on and pulled out their phone from behind a fence.
I think I remember this.
Okay,
so
that's where all footage... So my point is, if that department all the way through the last decade minimum had just been going, had come out to the public and said, hey, we had an officer who went too far here, and this is what we did about it. Here's what we're trying to do with our political culture, our corporate culture, our team culture, is we're trying to train them to do better. Here's the new programs we're putting in place to teach escalation of violence, because that's what it's called. It's an escalation of violence, to teach verbal judo, which is talking with your words to bring them down versus actually putting your hands on people. If they'd just been open about these are the steps we're taking, which I don't think they took any of them, because the investigation, you know, much like the big one that came out, I cannot think of the name now, that the Justice Department came through and their report said the whole department had been corrupt for a long time, that there were major indications of bad judgment throughout years of stuff. Being transparent, saying, yes, we understand this is going on, but we're actually going to fix it, as opposed to sweeping it under the rug and saying, yeah, you probably hit this guy too hard, you're going to get some time off and go to anger management, but that's it. And the public never needs to know about it. When this thing happened with the police officer, if they'd been transparent, when it happened, the whole entire community, it wouldn't have been news. I mean, it'd have been national news, because national won't follow good, positive things in the community. They'll only grab the big negative things because, like you said, it makes good news. When it happened, the whole community would have been like, no. There are no riots here. The police are actually, this is what they've been doing. This is one rogue cop. Versus what the reality was, is it's not. It was a culture of violence and of ignorance. And it was sad. And you will get caught. So I'm sorry. That was a long rant, but that's right. That's why you should be honest about everything. Even
in the
chat
room. In the chat room, listener Laura says, integrity is doing what is right, regardless of who is watching. It can be so hard, but so important.
Yeah.
And the quotes that I have are from Buckaroo Banzai. History is made at night. Character is what you are in the dark. And it's so true. When nobody's looking, that's your character. That's who you are, you know? We all sometimes do those things that we're like, oh, I don't know if I want people to know about this.
Well, let's start bringing this back to we are who we are, because I did take that a little off there, and I do somewhat apologize, but I think there was a good point. But when we met, damn it, Carl, and he said he had converted, and he is as white gets. I mean, he's a white boy. Maybe some Irish in him there. I can't remember if his hair's a little red or not.
I think he is. I think he is half Irish, or maybe he's all Irish. You know, dodge. He's a little dodgy. He is. So he might be British.
He came to us talking about IRUSA. I'm like, well, how are you there? And then he talks about conversion. So we asked these questions of, okay, explain to us why you did this. Explain to us that here's how we operate. We ask these questions because there are differences, because there's an unknown. And learning to be who you are means asking things of other people and then going, well, why do I do what I do? You ask that question back to yourself. And more than I feel like, I'm setting you up for the next segment, but I feel like that's what you did when you walked into the office. You had certain reactions internally, and then you find yourself surprised going, oh, well, they're laughing at my comedy, and they like cat videos, and oh, you know, all this other stuff. Didn't you find you started asking yourself, well, why did I feel like it'd be different?
Yeah. You know, when you're faced with your own, I'm going to say ignorance, because it shines me in a better word, you know, light than racism. Because I don't know if it's that far.
No, I think ignorance is the truth. Ignorance is you don't understand. You don't have the knowledge.
You don't know. Once you know, and then you keep doing that, then you can start, you know.
Yes.
Then it starts becoming racism and things like that. We all have to learn. And part of the reason I'm sharing this is so that, you know, if you're faced with the similar feelings, it doesn't make you a bad person either. It's what you do with it beyond that. And, you know, moving forward in spite of your own fear, in spite of your own hesitancy or trepidation, that speaks of your characters as well. So, there.
he heard the unhearable beep that you get. So he's like, oh, time. So we're going to come into the next segment, which is a level up. And more than I'm going to let you take it where you want to go, and we'll talk about our level ups. But there is obviously so much more to talk about. And I think this played into the hard work, what we wanted to do, which is maybe we'll talk about actual team building at some other point. But if you don't know yourself, you can't change what's outside of you. So we're going to hit some more coming up next. So stay tuned.
Hi, this is Mike with MikeAtTheMic.com. And you know how it works. When you need voiceover, you need it now, and you need to get it as professional as possible. So if you're looking for a guy who's a podcast producer who comes equipped with voiceover skills and is affordable, professional, and quick, I'm your guy. Check me out. MikeAtTheMic.com. That's M-I-K-E at the M-I-C.com.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 226. We are who we are. And there's just some things going on in the chat room that I want to read. Listener Laura says, kids, as I move it and now I can't find it, kids actually are fun to watch. They ask some hard questions, but instead of assuming another person is a certain way, they are all about the why.
Yeah,
you know, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? Oh, it's a joke. What's the difference between ignorance and apathy? I don't know, and I don't care. Listener Mike says, but you need to remember, Morden, it's okay to ask questions. You can evolve based on preconceived notions.
Maybe you can't evolve.
You can't evolve. So, yeah, and there's something I've said this, I mentioned this a couple of times in the past, but I'm going to do it again. It's pertinent right now. My coworker, my brother, Jeff Hall, who plays D'Angelo Tortuga, something very profound he said one time. He goes, I hate tolerance. I'm not about tolerance. I want acceptance. And that's what we're talking about here for my level up is get to know people who are different than you. And also there's that expression people like to say because they think it paints them in a certain light is that, oh, I'm colorblind. I don't see colors. And me personally, I see colors. I do. I see black. I see red. I see yellow. I see white. I see the colors. But my world is much brighter because of the colors. I think there's beauty in the different colors. To say that it's all just whitewashed, one, you know, we're all one color, we're all the same. Sure, on the inside, I get it, and I get what you're trying to say. But then you're ignoring the, you know, then it's almost like saying, well, I don't see the blondes and the brunettes and the redheads out there. It's like, no, I see that. I see that, and I see the glory that is them all. The same with the different races. There's a beauty to the colors. And, you know, everything from the darkest dark to the pinkest pink, because none of us are really white, because that would be freaky, unless you're albino. So I think I've just pissed them all off now.
All right. Just
should I stop now?
You're rolling hard down here. So I can give you some insight on some of this for sure, is that I have no problems. You know, if I'm trying to reference it, we were talking on my other show, Breaking the Panel. We were talking about the Star Wars trailer, the newest. At that point, it's still the newest one out, but it had just released that day. So I was watching it. And I have yet to dive this far into the new movie to where I even know the character names. I don't know the new character names.
Yep.
And I was trying to reference a moment in the thing, and I have no problem going, the black guy. Because in those scenes, there's only one black guy. So it's very easy to point him out. If I were whitewashing, or if I were trying to be I guess politically correct or overly sensitive, I would have had to dance around it, and you would have known. And inherently, when I'm just, it's the black guy. Just say that. Not that that's what differentiates him from everybody, but in that scene, it did. Because how about the stormtrooper guy who took his helmet off, who was different? It's like, God, you're just making it worse. But more than when you start talking about these things, you get ramped up because. What is your definition story? Where do you come from? You were born in Pakistan. You were adopted. You were this happened, that happened. And you were, I believe, through your stories, you were obviously made to feel so different that you embrace that at some point, which is a good thing, but it also makes you really sensitive to people who you feel are saying, you know, that doesn't matter because your difference is part of who you are. That there's what you said, there's nothing wrong with anything you said. Everything you said was great. You see colors. You see beauty. You embrace the differences of who we are. But you're also a little fearful of whitewashing. Because we actually got into it at the end of two shows ago, right, about the poster. And I thought the poster was great. It's the color of our thoughts that makes us different. It's not the color of our skin. What they were trying to say is, you know, how you look doesn't make you different. It's how you think that makes you different. But you were so sensitive about the whitewashing thing. You said, this is awesome, because you shared the poster. This is awesome. But I see things. And at first, I took offense to what you said, because you were like, but I see color. I'm like, dude, you just negated everything. What I realize now is it's still hitting that sensitive area of you are different, and you want to embrace that. And it feels like you're losing something if you lose your difference. Because honestly, you're not. I would not classify you as white. You are definitely a permanent tan.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
my friends used to call us. So I'm just saying.
My friends used to call us myself and Jeff Tortuga. Mm-hmm. They used to call us generic Latinos. That was before I knew my heritage. You know, before I met my birth mother. Et
but you've definitely got that light, true olive color, and that's a difference that you can embrace. So that's the insight on the where you went with that. But the rest of that is absolutely.
Let me throw out a quote. Another quote from the chat room from listener Carrie. She's quoting Dennis Leary. And he says, racism isn't born, folks. It's taught. I have a 2-year-old son. Know what he hates? Naps. End of list.
Yeah. I've seen somebody put a meme out not that long ago that had that. That's great. Mike, I like what you talked about tolerance. And I agree with Jeff. that tolerance is crap, man. Look, next, you want to know how bad tolerance is? Find somebody you love, and the next time they're talking to you, or God, this is even better if you really want to test this out. When somebody who's a good friend of yours, who's expressing how they like you, or your partner, or whatever, you know, my wife, next time she looks at me and says, you know, I love you, and if I go, I tolerate you. Let's just see how that goes, shall we? And obviously, you're like, oh, no, don't do that. Because you know instantly, you know, when you put it in a practical setting, you know instantly how bad that is. Whereas if we accept who we are individually as yourself, you accept you for you, you can accept everybody else. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
Right. And that's the beauty of what America is supposed to be. We are a melting pot. We are, you know, a gathering of different cultures. And that's why there's not supposed to be any. Yeah, exactly. And that's why everybody can come here and worship as they worship and be as they be and love who they love and all those things that make this country wonderful. That's why we're able to have this kind of podcast. That's why different organizations that have different points of view are able to come together and talk and love one another or share ideas and have disagreements and still respect one another, even though they come from different points of view. So in other places, you don't get that. In certain places, you get actually thrown in prison or killed for that.
Yeah.
So we have something special here, you know, that we are accepting of all religions, that we are accepting of all walks of life. We have something special here. So, you know, be appreciative of that and celebrate that by making friends outside your ecosystem, making friends who are different than you and finding out from them about the differences and what it really means. And it doesn't mean that suddenly you're going to become that or that you're going to change all your beliefs or anything. No, but it does give you a deeper appreciation for the American ecosystem.
And it'll give you a bigger appreciation of the world for sure. And I think more than the positive stories you tell about differences are outside of this country. You know, you talk about the Thailand, and because I think you went to areas that like just said, okay, you are who you are. And that's what you were seeking at the time. I found when I went to Israel, the same thing is I expected a cultural difference. I was very aware to mind my P's and Q's because I didn't understand the culture at the time. And I learned we're all the same. We're people. Just talk to people. Just be funny. Just relax. Just relax. So I'm going to jump into my level up, and it's based on a Bible verse, actually. There's the saying, the religious saying that's based off a Bible verse. It says, the golden rule is treat your neighbor as yourself, right? Treat others, or sometimes it gets paraphrased, to treat others like you want to be treated. And the point I've made for so long, and it's in my mind because the bishop brought it up recently, the point I made so long is we actually live that every day. That wasn't a statement of go do. That was a statement of, hey, wake up, people. This is what you're doing. We treat people the way we treat ourselves. And how many times are we hateful to ourselves? How many times do we hate something that we do, that we don't accept who we are, that we don't see what we do? So we treat others that way. I hate what I'm doing, so therefore I hate what you're doing. We live that. So my level up is understand who you are and why you do what you do. Because when you do that, man, you're going to be so free to love and accept others for who they are. It's not even funny. And then you'll get all the acceptance you've been looking for so long.
Yeah. I think you already know my level up goes back to acceptance, not tolerance. Get to know people outside of who you are. I'll throw back again to the Toastmasters phrase. And of course, I just lost it. A systematic desensitization. You meet them, you get to know them, you get exposed to them more. So anybody who's traveled the world has a much broader understanding of the global community that we belong to than those who have not gone beyond even their own state. So expose yourself to something new. It's part of who we are. It's part of being American is all this, this tapestry. America. It's colorful. So, you know, that's it. There's your homework. Go out there and meet somebody who's different than you. And if you're Christian, go to a Jewish temple.
Synagogue.
Synagogue. Thank you. Or a mosque, or you know, if you're Jewish, or if you're Islamic, or Buddhist, or Hindu, or anything else, visit something different, or maybe just a different community, you know, a different group of people where you're gonna be exposed to somebody who's different than you. Get to know your police, all right, so you can see that they are not they're not what you're getting seen that you're seeing on the news. So that you can help them out as well, help them help themselves. And all you're going to be doing is enriching yourself and supporting the American dream. And for those of you who are in the rest of the world, many of you already know this because you're so you know, integrated with everything already. So yeah, there's my tirade.
I would not assume that they are different than us because they listen to us and we attract who we are. So here we go. Coming up next, we're going to have On Beyond Success Freaks, and you can we're going to go bigger, better, better, more. I've got some ideas already. And then check us out on, I don't even know how to spell KBC Radio, man. Do you know how to spell KBC Radio?
I do know how to spell it now that you've put me on the spot.
I think it's
KBC.
While he looks that up real quick, also check us out, Gastonia, North Carolina, AM 1450, Gastonia, North Carolina. We're on the air there every Thursday night, 5 p.m. Check us out in your drive time ride home.
It is spelled K-A-B-I, oh, it moved, K-A-B-I-E-S-I.
So KBC Radio is putting us out to the world through the internets, and it's awesome. Yes. So we'll be right back with On Beyond Success Freaks.
Success Freaks Guide to Dream Hunting is an honest and revealing look at tagging and bagging a bigger, badder, better, more life. Mordant and McFall discuss the trials and tribulations encountered on their path through uncharted territory, the lessons learned along the way, and how they use them to move forward. Explore what causes you to hesitate when taking that first big step into the unknown. Discover how to experience the thrill of success firsthand. A guidebook for those brave souls no longer satisfied with an average life. Success Freaks Guide to Dream Hunting, available now at Amazon.
Welcome to On Beyond Success Freaks, where we go bigger, better, better, more, and to the topics of the show. Now, this On Beyond is going to be a little bit different because in the in-between, where we try to give information to people who come out live, or we try to give extra content to those who subscribe at patreon.com/successfreaks, Morten and I actually went down this rabbit hole and got into this passionate discussion, borderline argument. We pulled it just short of where we started to argue with each other.
I know, I think we were arguing. I think I'm going to argue about that lack of arguing.
Of course you will. Of course you will. So what's happening is we're actually recording this opening after we did the conversation, and then our great producer, Mike Woodard, is going to put the conversation in, and then we're going to wrap it out. So hope you enjoy On Beyond, and come back next week for more spontaneity. Honestly, one of the greatest compliments. Now, yes, there will be a deeper conversation of, really, you believe that? But one of the greatest ways you can be is accepting of others and being nice to the point that when you say something that I disagree with, I'm like, really? You think like that? Because that just says, what you believe, you don't put on other people. You keep it for yourself. And that's the true meaning of belief to me. So I'm just going to throw it out there, not going to name names because I don't want anybody to mistakenly think anyone thinks like this. But let's say you have a friend, I'm going to make up his name, Sam. You have a friend, Sam, and you're the best friends and this and that. And you're talking about gay marriage because you're happy that it finally got passed in the Supreme Court and you accept gay people. And he goes, man, I just believe that people are going to go to hell. But that's okay. They can be married. And you whip your head around and you go, what? You really believe that gays are going to go to hell? Because you never knew that about him, because he didn't force that on other people. He didn't go around judging people. He didn't go around bashing people. He just believed it and kept it to himself. Because that's what belief is, but he accepted other people. He said, sure, you can get married. Legally, the difference between legal and my beliefs are miles away. What I believe is what I believe, but legal should be fair for everybody. That's honestly a good way to be.
Right, and if they're going to hell anyways, come on, cut them a break. They're going to get their punishment anyway, so why are you coming down on them? Who are you? Stop it. Share your job, share love. There you go.
I mean, I fully will argue with the Kim Davises of the world all day long, but I believe in your right to believe that, and I believe in your freedom of speech, and I will fight for
your right to have that. You know, twisted opinion and be able to your freedom of speech to speak about it. I will absolutely. Yeah,
exactly.
That's why when it here we can do some personal stuff. That's why when they were saying, you know, gays to be married is OK. But this does not mean that churches have to marry them. If they began saying churches have to marry them, that I have a problem with that.
Exactly.
Then you're getting into the mix of freedom of religion. And I'm saying, no, that's not OK. No bueno. And I will fight that, because that's church and state, separate. So although I do believe they do have a right to get married. So come on, high horse, yo.
But there's also no precedent for anybody forcing a church to do that, because churches don't have to marry straight people. They can have their own random set of rules and just say, no, we're not going to marry you. I mean, some churches require you to be a member.
Yeah, some churches already deny people there. Exactly. That's the way it is. And so they have that right.
It's been that way from the beginning of time. So,
right.
It's not like they have to marry, you know, everybody, but not gays. It's like, no, they can do whatever the hell they want. And that's different than, you know, I'm taking Chick-fil-A to an extreme. Then Chick-fil-A, which never did this, And there's physical U.S. laws against this, actually. But that Chick-fil-A went, you know what? Gays cannot come and order here. You're not allowed. You know, back in segregation, no blacks allowed. Right. That's illegal now in the United States. You cannot discriminate, period, in hiring or in serving. And there's still some people who get around it. You remember the country club controversies that there were still old established country clubs that said no women and no blacks, except they didn't phrase it that way. And, you know, somebody would challenge that and, you know, ultimately win. And then it's like, why do you want to be somewhere that doesn't want you there? I don't understand. Now we're getting off on a weird tangent, but I don't understand the desire to be somewhere that somebody doesn't want you there.
It's just to push the boundaries and facilitate change.
I'm specifically talking about the country clubs. When and this is, I want to say the 90s, late 90s, maybe early 2000s. So when change has already been facilitated to where people can go just about anywhere they want, whether they belong there or not, you're just kind of looking for problems at that point to me. Like the girl, this was in the 90s in South Carolina at is it West Point that's in South Carolina? What's the big military school that's there? That's tough.
I don't believe it's in South Carolina.
I don't think it's West Point. There's the Citadel, maybe. It's in South Carolina, I know. And it was a male-only organization, full military. And this girl sued and won to be in there. And then 2 weeks washed out.
Well, then also about the girls playing baseball, wanting to play with the guys, and they are good enough.
Now, see, that's my thing. Is like,
and better than.
Okay, you pass the test. I am so happy about the thing that happened with the Rangers like two weeks ago.
Right.
That, not the Rangers, the baseball team, I mean, 2 months ago, but the actual Army Rangers, where they actually took a progressive stance not that long ago, sometime in this calendar year, I think. And if I'm wrong, if it was longer than that, that's awesome.
Nope, it was this year. I think the first ones made it through, three of them.
At first, to be a Ranger, you had to be male, period. They wouldn't even let you into class. And then the Ranger said, you know what? That's crap. If anybody can pass the test, you can be a Ranger. And females went through, and some of them didn't make it. But yeah, this calendar year, in the last couple of months, two made it. I know at least one did. But
I thought it was three.
It could be three. But it's a very small number. But they made it. They are Rangers. They cannot serve as Rangers, but they can wear the patch. They've earned it. They've earned the respect of everybody else. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. You make the test hard, but anybody who can pass the test can be there.
And it needs to be the same test. Listener Laura says, if you get government funding, you got to be open to all. And then she goes on to say, and this is interesting. Where'd you go? I joined a fraternity, and I'm female. If you are going to be there, you got to go for it. Qualification should be based on your body shape. But you should be. But you have to be able to hang in there. And I joined a fraternity too, and I'm, you know.
Yeah, that.
I'm questionable. Not gonna happen. So hey, all you people in the in between, and you get to hear us talk about some politics and stuff. So there you go. None of these should be any surprise to you, though.
Now, see, that doesn't cause problems, Laura. Laura, see, that's the old argument. What happens if there's 100 sailors and one girl? Why would you only have one girl on a submarine? If you're being equal, why wouldn't it be a larger percentage of girls on the submarine? And plus, out of those 100 boys, at least some of them are gay, so they don't care. And out of that, if you can't handle yourself in your business and you're just driven crazy by an opposite sex person being there, you're in the wrong business.
Some of the problem is how the men are affected by women there. There's that hero complex, et cetera, but that is due to...
That's not her fault.
That's due to... No, but it does, if it affects the safety of the men there, if it affects them being on the job...
they're going to do that anyway. If they have that hero complex... And you know what?
No, I'm talking about men in general in our society, and a lot of that is society, because throughout the ages, there are societies in where women fought alongside of the men.
Yes.
And not just as shield bearers, but also thought, you know, with the Celts, with whatever. So, but it is affected. It is a problem with our society. There's quotations around problem. So if it does put people in peril, you have to take it into consideration. Well, it shouldn't be like that. You're right. It shouldn't, but it is.
I totally disagree. If here's what I'm going to take into consideration. Some guy comes to me as a command. I'm the commanding officer. Some guy comes to me. Oh, you know, I don't think I can do my job. There's this woman. I just feel this need to protect her. Then get the F off my boat. Because you're wrong. That's the peril. You're not doing your job.
That's nice of you to say that, but what are you doing when it's the next guy? What are you doing with the guy that doesn't say anything? Or the guys that don't say anything and yet they do that?
You're talking to a guy who cut his teeth on the military with the Rogue Warrior and how they built SEAL teams. And it was all about do your job. Find the way to do it. And the SEAL Team 6 was built on SEALs or military, just military people. They weren't all necessarily SEALs to start with. That had bad raps. That were... kind of pushed off as rogues or as not worthy people because they did this or they get into this bar fight or they disrespected authority. And he built SEAL Team 6, which became one of the most famous SEAL teams in the history of military for what they did, based on people who everybody else just wrote off as bad. That's what I would do. That's where we would have gone with teamwork, is I'm going to find the people who fit my team. When you start, God damn, man, when you start, not you personally, but when anybody starts saying, oh, well, this girl is here, or if you're, or this gay guy is here. I mean, it was the same argument. Go back in the day, this black guy is here, and I just don't feel like I can do my job. Then get, here we go, people, cover your ears, get out.
Because, but you know, that's all great with that's all great with the ideal, but you have to take into consideration, for the safety of all, practical application. What really happens?
That's
now, I'm not saying don't make changes. I'm not saying don't move towards
problem.
That, but you have to consider when lives are on the line. And I'm sorry if this if you don't like that, if it doesn't, you know, if it affects your poor little sensibilities,
now,
but that's the truth when lives are on the line.
What do we tell you?
Now,
am I saying
don't move towards change? No, I am not saying that. Am I saying don't try to fix it? Because I believe you're right, Charles. However, you have to take into consideration practical application.
We teach in Success Freaks the problem is yours.
Yes,
you
fix
have to
it,
fix
but there
your
is
problem.
That until
and you're
that,
saying
that
we have
it's
to say,
fixed,
well,
people
you have
have
the problem,
to be
have
considered.
To fix everybody
considered.
Else.
Do I believe that if they want to, women can do the be on the front lines? Yes, I do. However, you have to take into consideration the safety of everybody and what's going on, and then make changes so that you can move towards that. But just cold turkey putting somebody out there, there are problems inherent with that, and you have to take that into consideration for the safety of the people. I'm not saying don't move forward. I'm saying just be aware.
No, so you're taking it to a much larger thing. I'm not saying throw somebody cold turkey in the sub and let's just work out the problems. Yes, there's logistics. There's other things.
And they already did that in the movie Operation Petticoat. I've seen that. It was a TV show, too. It was great.
Okay. I have no idea what that had to do with it.
Hey, can we get back to our show right now? This is all in-between stuff.
I know. Well, we might make that the on beyond. Because the point is, what I'm addressing directly is somebody having a problem. And the problem is theirs. And that's the going back to the 100. I'm addressing straw man arguments, because straw man arguments are meant to keep people down. And when you say there's 100 guys on a sub and one woman, that's a straw man argument, because it should never be that way. There should be more of a balance, period.
Yes.
In reality. I'm not talking about perfect world should. I'm talking about in reality. Is okay. You're not arguing reality.
And,
you're commit with
and the Coast Guard Auxiliary does have men and women working together. There are organizations where this is happening.
There's many places.
I'm not sure the Navy as well
now.
Does do that now.
In all honesty, you consider data. Now, it's not a safety of everybody thing, but if you put 50 women on a sub and 50 men on a sub, and they're all straight, okay. I'm trying to come up with the worst straw man argument I can, but the data says that, oh, pregnancy rates went up because of that. The issue is you're losing your resources. It's not a safety of everybody. It's not, I can't do my job. It's human beings like being together, and human beings like to do things together. And there are certain results from that, emotional entanglements. But, you know, you look at the data of pregnancy. Well, if pregnancy is going up, we might have to find ways to address that. I don't know how, don't know where, but you address problems. When you say, I have to consider the safety of all, you take this big blanket statement that has no specific arguments. And I feel like it is a straw man thing that just is meant to keep people down. No, I don't have to consider the safety of all. What I have to consider is the initial problem right in front of me. Whereas you come to me, a specific issue, saying, I can't do this. We as Success Freaks teach, is a problem that's yours to fix.
Right. If you're not considering the safety of all, then I don't want you overseeing my people. You have to take that into consideration. Yes, I agree with you about the straw man arguments, but if you don't consider the safety of people as well, and you're moving towards getting this kind of thing implemented, if you're not considering the safety of people as well, then I don't want you overseeing my people, because that's job one for me, is their safety, so that they continue to do their job.
See, we're getting so far off here.
Let's go back to what listener Laura says, because she's the most vocal of everybody. When we were talking about the 50-50, she said, yes, it should be 20-80, but how do you find those 20? And then she goes on to say they are working towards it. And then she says, if you put 100 women and one male, it will be an issue as well. And that's true.
Yes,
that's
but it's also unreal
people
balance.
Are people, you know. So there you go. Do you want to find a way to make this the on beyond? Because we sure were chatty for a while.
We can, you know. And I, you know, so trying to bring it back to a lighter note. Well, my army that has no problems will trash yours that considers the safety of all. Thank you. Everybody go be safe. Hide in your bunkers. We'll just bomb you and catch you while you sleep. It's okay.
I can't say anything without being the douche.
And you want me in World of Tanks? I'm going to crook. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? I saw your army. It was wiped out by three Jedi and because they were all robots anyways and they couldn't fight. So.
All right. That you know what? We'll take that.
All right. We'll take that. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to this episode. We have gone all over the world with everything that we've been talking about. We are who we are. And I think we've given you some food for thought. As always, this has been R. Mordant Mon.
And I am Charles McFall saying individual commitment to coffee. That is what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, and a civilization work. Vince Lombardi-ish.
Ciao, success freaks. Boom, baby.